In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. How does prayer work? How does prayer work? I've gotten that question a lot in my 20 years of ordained ministry. And I can honestly say I don't have all the answers, but I have given it a lot of thought. And I think I can share some insights with you about how prayer works. Because in today's gospel, Jesus is talking to us entirely about how to pray. Americans and Europeans, we live in a consumerist culture. It sort of shapes us, even though we don't realize it. We're very used to going to stores, asking for something, and getting what we want. It's just part of our world. Every day, usually, we're in some kind of relationship where we're asking for something and we pay someone and they give it to us. I know all of you have gone out to eat in a beautiful and delicious restaurant here on St. Bart, and you've sat at a nice table, most likely, and a waiter or waitress has come up to you and said, "What would you like? Do you want a bottle of water with gas, without gas?" And you are thinking, what do I want? I'm going to tell this person what I want, and they will go, and someone will make it for me, and they'll bring it back to the table. Occasionally, perhaps, they won't have something on the menu, but that's rare. So we're very accustomed to this relationship of asking and getting what we want. Have you seen the new vending machine by Saint-Jean? That's an even better example. Americans have lots of vending machines. In fact, Jacob told me that more people die from vending machines than from sharks. Did you know that? I guess they kick them so hard that the vending machine falls on them and they die. Well, the vending machine, you put in your money, you press a button, and it drops whatever you want right into your hands. So without really being conscious of it, that's how we approach God, because that's how our world works. When we pray, we assume that we should ask God for something and God should give it to us. That it should be the relationship of customer to employee. That in a way, we're the boss. We're the consumer. We're the customer. And then when we pray and we ask God for something and we don't get exactly what we wanted, people come to me and they say, "How does this prayer thing work? Because it's not working for me." And I find that I can explain to them about the concept of waiting. They do understand waiting, because most of us have been to a nice restaurant and we are willing to wait if we know that what we receive will be good enough for the wait, yes? So people can understand that God is eternal and may take some time to answer, but they still fundamentally can't get over this consumerist relationship. And when God doesn't deliver an answer, people think, A, God doesn't care. B, God is angry and punishing me. Or C, God doesn't exist at all. Those are the conclusions that people come to when they ask for something and don't get exactly what they wanted. But the problem is not with our asking. The fault lies in the nature of the relationship that we anticipate with God. We're anticipating a relationship that is completely faulty. You see, we are not the customer. We are not the boss of God. We are not the consumer. Jesus likens us to a child asking the parent for something. Now, all of you know that when a child asks a parent for something, the parent loves the child, right? The parent inherently wants to give to the child and wants the child to be happy, but also understands that the child needs to be safe and that it's not always good to receive everything it asks for. The parent knows more than the child. And God knows more than we do. We want instant gratification, but God has an eternal perspective. We want instant gratification, but God has an eternal perspective. And we are not the boss. We are not the consumer. We are not the customer. We are like children asking God for something that we don't even fully understand ourselves. On Friday night, Herb and Louise invited JD and me and Jacob and Max to their house for Scrabble and ice cream. And who can resist Scrabble and ice cream, right? So we had to go. When we got to their villa, we were greeted by this little tiny dog named Dasher. Dasher is a Pomeranian and absolutely adorable, is very friendly and happy, but Dasher has this leg that sticks out, just won't bend at all. And of course, like a dog, he has absolutely no self-pity and runs all around with this jagged leg sticking out. So of course, immediately I asked Louise, what's wrong with his leg? And she told me the story of this little dog who was abused very badly and had to have multiple surgeries before they adopted him. Well, I couldn't tell that Dasher had been abused at all, other than his leg, because he seemed so happy and so joyful around us. Obviously, he's been well-loved for a number of years now. Very blessed to be with Herb and Louise. So we went in and sat at the table, and we ended up playing Bananagram. I don't know if you all have ever played that. It's a fun game. And Dasher came in and was kind of hovering around Louise, and she explained that when they first adopted him, he was afraid to come in when they ate, and they assumed that that's when he had been kicked or hurt around the table. So a friend of Louise's had given her a piece of advice. This friend said, just feed Dasher an essence of food. Because he's so small, he really shouldn't eat much. It would be hard on his stomach and on his disposition, but give him an essence of whatever you're eating, and that will let him know that he's welcome to the table, that you want him there. So sure enough, Dasher comes prancing in and sort of hovers around Louise, and as we're eating our cookie and our snacks, she would take a little essence and give it to Dasher. Jesus gives us a clue at the end of the gospel about how prayer works. He says that when we ask, we will receive, and when we seek, we'll find. But at the very end of the gospel, he says, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, and we do, generally, we take care of all our children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So when you ask for anything, God always answers by giving you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is not a tame thing at all. It is completely unpredictable. You could say, though, that the Holy Spirit is like the essence of God. That when we come to the table begging for whatever wild thing that we want, God gives us his essence. This morning I came here early, as I like to do on Sunday morning, and there was a dove walking right in front of the front door of the church, back and forth and back and forth, back and forth. And I thought to myself, God, are you giving this church the gift of your Holy Spirit this morning? Just he was walking back and forth and would look at me like, this is my turf. Back and forth. When you come to God in prayer, remember that you're not the boss. But remember that God is also very generous with you, giving you exactly what you need, the essence of God's very Spirit. But I don't think we will fully understand what that answer is or how it works until the day that we see God face to face. And at that point, we will understand. Amen.